Now, the idea of having a garden bird survey was the brainchild of?
It was Mr. Jim Wilson.
From?
Cove in County Cork.
Absolutely. And that's where he is now. Well, actually, he's in the Cork studio. We're going to say hello to him. He's just back from another one of his wonderful trips. He's an international guide, you know. He takes people from one end of the world to the other. I don't know where he was recently. He'll tell us. He's just back. How are you, Jim?
Not too bad at all, Derek. I'm not long back from a trip around Britain and Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to places like the Orkney Islands. We even called into Cove. We went to Dingle. We went around the Blaskets up north. It was fantastic.
Now, you were on a cruise ship.
Yeah, that's right. Small.
And what was your role?
Very small. So my role is I'm on as an ornithologist and a naturalist. And with Britain and Ireland, I'm on as one of the locals as well, because the company I work for is American. So it's very, very small ships, National Geographic. We show them wildlife, culture, history. But my main job is to interpret the natural history that we come across, and also do a bit of education through lectures on board when mm-hmm. we're not ashore. And answer questions morning, noon and night about anything that the guest might see.
You mentioned National Geographic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that the tour company?
It's Lindblad Expeditions are the actual company that run the expeditions. We call them expedition cruises because it's not just going to one port after another. We often use Zodiacs, which are like very large rubber right. dinghies, and we bring them to remote places as well. But they're in partnership with National Geographic.
Right.
And that's how it works. They have National Geographic photographers on sometimes, those that have, you know, published in the magazine and all that. So we get very, very high powered people on board.
So the passengers that you get generally have an interest in natural history, you would say?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
They're not just cruising.
No, not at all.
So that's why somebody like you is on board.
Yeah, the ship is not
an expert.
Yeah, the ship is not the destination.
No, you go to far flung places as well. You don't just do Britain and Ireland.
Yeah. I mean, I've been very, very privileged to travel and work in places like the Antarctic, the Arctic. I've even been to the North Pole twice, Greenland, Maritime Canadian waters, West Coast of South America. You know, it's been a huge privilege since I left my day job in Cork University Hospital in 2008.
That was a brave move.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And looking back, would you say it was the right move?
Absolutely.
Good. Well, that's good. Absolutely. So you're used to being on boats and you're used to being on the water and you're used to being with groups of people.
Yeah.
Now, why are you on the program tonight? Because back in July, I asked you to go on a nighttime kayaking safari.
You did. One of the more unusual missions you've sent me on. I had to go off down to West Cork to meet Jim Kennedy, who runs Atlantic Sea Kayaking, along with his son Nisha, who acted as our guide for the evening. And it was unbelievable. I mean, you know, it kind of brought home to me the fact that we've got so much amazing wildlife right here on our doorstep. You know, it's great to go abroad and see things that are new to you and unusual to you. But sometimes when you come home, a lot of the stuff you take for granted. And so this was brilliant because it was doing something I don't normally do. You know, if you had sent me bird watching with a group or something, well, that's something I do all the time. Whereas this was like, I had to kind of park my wildlife bird watching brain and kind of just let whatever senses hit me.
Go with the flow.
Absolutely.
And you made this report.
You were literally going with the flow, actually.
Shall we have a listen?
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
Let's go for it. Yeah. Well, I think I'm ready to go. I'm off on a bit of an adventure down to West Cork to go night kayaking, something I've never done before. I'm really excited about that, but I think I better get going. I don't want to be late. We've had a few very heavy showers, but the forecast is for it to clear up and the wind to die down, so I'm hoping it'll be a perfect evening. It's about 120 kilometres from my home in Cove to Castlehaven. It's not a long drive, but tonight it feels like I'm travelling much further into something new. I'm excited about what lies ahead, but I'm also trying to contain myself because usually I'm the one guiding the group. I've spent years leading wildlife expeditions on cruise ships in the Arctic and the Antarctic, giving onboard lectures, guiding people across frozen tundra and into some of the most remote places on Earth. But tonight, I'm on the learning curve. This isn't about adrenaline, it's about observation. About slowing down and seeing what's usually missed. Instead of ice fields and penguin colonies, I'll be gliding through a quiet bay in West Cork.
Jim, thanks for coming, first of all. Welcome down to Castlehaven.
Thank you.
Tonight we're going to do a night kayak tour. Yeah. And so the first thing we're going to do, we're going to get you some gear just to help with the splashes. And then we'll be briefing you on how to use the kayaks. We'll be showing you all you need to know. And we'll be getting out on the water then, hopefully for a nice relaxing evening where we can listen to the birds as you already have been. And who knows what else we'll see out there.
Okay. And Nisha Kennedy is manager of Atlantic Sea Kayaking and our guide for the night.
Yeah, well, it's a family business, so the business has been running now for 32 years, so you could say I'm second generation in the business, I suppose. Right. And apart from that, we do have a lot of locals now who we're training up to be guides, and we have a number of kind of seasonal workers that come back to us. We have the girls in the office too who do all the hard work that we don't have to deal with on the water. So, yeah, there's a small team of us, but we work hard.
No, a question I've always been afraid to ask, are all kayaks canoes, or are canoes different to kayaks?
No, so there's a big difference actually. So a kayak would be usually enclosed with a cockpit, or else a sit-on-top kayak. And a paddle for a kayak has two sides. So a canoe then is open, more like a rowing boat, and it has a paddle you only use on one side. So kayaking is much easier in my opinion. It's half the work and twice the fun is what we say.
Really?
Yeah.
So a canoe is like, well, when I was growing up, you would see Native Americans and
exactly.
going down a river on a birch bark with a pointy bit in the front.
Yeah.
That's a canoe.
Yeah, much less dynamic through the water. You know, you have to put a lot more effort into moving them. These kayaks we have, they glide through the water, and our whole trip is designed around that. So we don't have to work hard and the boats move along nicely and we can just enjoy ourselves then.
So there's no noise out of them or anything like that?
No, that's the great thing about a kayak, especially if you're into nature, if you're into bird watching, if you're into anything like that. It allows you to get access to the animals and get access to the beautiful areas without disturbing the peace. So you have no engine on your boat. You're not disturbing anything above or below the water. You can often surprise animals, you know, by mistake. You know, there might be a seal sleeping up on the rock and you didn't see him, he didn't see you, or birds the same. You can get close enough without obviously getting too close to their nest, but you can get really nice opportunities to look at some amazing animals we have down here.
So, you know, you're mentioning a lot about the wildlife. So I presume at this stage, you know how close you can get to something without disturbing it.
Yeah, we'd be aware of all the guidelines out there from Birdwatch Ireland and from, you know, with the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group in terms of marine life. So we try to adhere to them as much as possible. You know, sometimes you might encounter an animal and you didn't see each other, but we would always try and be respectful and not encroach into their habitat. And yeah,
well, I'm very excited because I've only been in a kayak I think about twice, and that was for a very short length of time, and never been out in the dark at night.
Yeah.
So I hope we don't get lost.
No, well, I hope so too. I was hoping you'd know where we're going, so no,
well,
it'll be very safe. You know, we know this place like the back of our hand, and we actually prefer when people haven't kayaked before, because then you've no bad habits. So every night we treat everyone as if they know nothing about what they're doing. So we go through everything in detail. I would say 90% of the people that come out with us are complete beginners.
Yeah.
Some people have never been outside at night. You know, we've had people from New York City, other big cities like that, where they've just never been out in darkness without light pollution. And that's a big thing for us. We try and use the natural darkness as much as possible, use our night vision. Don't rely on lights, because you know these days we have so much light and it's such a visual digital world. It's nice to escape all of that, and it's almost like a detox, I think, getting out on the water. But you'll see for yourself and you can tell me afterwards how you feel.
Well, I mean, it was amazing. When I was interviewing your dad, I mean, it was like monsoon weather. I mean,
yeah.
The rain was like so heavy coming down. There was no way we could avoid it. And I'm looking to the north now where all the clouds are coming from. Your dad is very confident that, those clouds are too high and we probably won't get any more rain. Well, yeah. What do you think?
I think we should be okay. We'll find some trees to take shelter if it does come. But once we're out there with the gear on, you know, the rain doesn't bother you too much.
Yeah.
It's more when you're sitting in your cars before you go out. That's when you can psych yourself out. But, you know, in Ireland, if we let the rain stop us, we'd never do anything.
That's
so
true.
You kind of have to just get on with it.
It's flat cam, no?
Yeah, it is.
So it's
and
perfect?
You know, often with the rain, you get the wind drops, so you get lovely conditions. And, yeah, you know, often some of the nicest nights I've had out there has been when it's raining because it's very, very peaceful, I think.
Excellent, Nisha. Listen, I'm looking forward to the evening and I will pay very close attention to your briefing so that I don't do anything stupid. And listen, I better let you get on with it. So.
Good stuff. We'll see you out there.
See you out there.
Just in case you're not supposed to be here or you're with someone you're not supposed to be, you know.
Before any expedition, big or small, safety comes first. It's the one thing you never skip. Whether you're heading into the mountains or just dipping into the sea, ensuring everyone knows what to do if things go wrong is key.
If you come over here to the kayak for a second. These are what we'll be using. So you have one person in the front, one person in the back. The person in the back will have more control over the steering. So you need to decide who's sitting where in the boat. If one of you has done a lot more kayaking than the other, you should be in the back. If neither of you have kayaked or you're at the same level, it doesn't really matter. As long as you know left and right, at least 70% of the time, you'll be fine. When you're getting into the kayak, you want to sit behind your seat first. Get your feet in. Then slide your bum down onto the seat. When you're sitting in, you want your legs like this, so your knees are out to the side, your feet are out to the side as well. That's the most stable position to be in. And yeah, people are worried about capsizing. You know, a lot of people arrive very nervous about getting wet, falling into the water. In general, it doesn't really happen. With these boats, they're very wide, they're stable, they're difficult to turn over. Usually, if people do capsize, it's because they're trying to, by rocking the boat from side to side like that, or trying to reach for something, or trying to sabotage another boat. So if you don't do any of that, you won't fall in. You stay nice and relaxed, nice and loose, again floating around the place, the kayak won't turn over. They don't turn themselves over. I'm going to just run through quickly how to use the paddles and we'll get down to the boats. We have a couple of things to show you with the boats and then we'll get out on the water. So if you have any questions, just let me know. Interrupt me.
Safety briefing complete. It was time to take to the water.
I have my Irvigo.
I see all the, I think they're rubber stuff there. Mainly just holding the paddle. So you put it straight out in front of you, hands about shoulder distance apart. And then you want the right side vertical, left side is at a slight angle. And all of our paddles should have a smiley face on them. That smiley face should be on your right hand side and it should be the right way up. So if he's frowning at you, or if you can't see him, you need to twist your paddle around. There you go. You have to this small one. Good. So that smiley face is telling you you're holding your paddle right. If you can't see him, you need to twist it around. That's how you hold the paddle. If you want to go forwards, you put your paddle in up by your toes on the right-hand side, pull it through the water, out at your body, then you do the same on the left side. So, nice and gentle. What I'm doing here, this is as hard as you need to go. Very little strength. I do that.
It's a calm July night in West Cork. The water's like glass, barely a ripple. Just the soft splash of the paddle breaking the stillness. No traffic, no chatter, no distractions. Castlehaven Bay is tucked away on Ireland's southwest coast, and it's perfect for this kind of quiet escape. It's sheltered, peaceful, and surrounded by green hills and old stone walls. On the western shore sits Castle Townsend, a small village with a steep main street, Georgian houses, and a pair of big sycamore trees right in the middle of the road. It's the kind of place where time slows down. Out on the water, you feel close to everything that matters. Nature, stillness, freedom. No pollution, no noise. Just the rhythm of your paddle and the gentle sway of the kayak. It's simple, and that's what makes it so special.
If you're looking straight out there, those islands you can see way off in the distance are called the Stags, or Nastaki in Irish. They're about 12 kilometres from here. And that gap you're looking at to the left of that gap is called Horse Island. It's a big island with a tower on it. We'll maybe see it a bit better later on. And to the right is the mainland, so that's over by a place called Towhead. We're going to paddle in here first to Castle Townsend, have a quick look at the village, and then we'll continue on.
As we gently glide through the water, we notice something. It's a familiar sight to me, the beauty of which I haven't seen for many years.
If you look down and move your hand through the water, you might start to see the bioluminescence. So it looks like little sparks coming off your fingers. So that's plankton. Little planktons in the water called dinoflagellates. And when they light up, so they light up in response to any kind of agitation. So if there's a raindrop or a fish or a paddle going through the water, it causes a chemical reaction in the plankton, and then that chemical reaction causes the light. Do you guys have fireflies where you live in the Chicago area? So the fireflies light up the same way, same chemical reaction. But the fireflies then would do it to attract a mate, whereas they think that this plankton is doing it for defense. They're not 100% sure, but they think it's either trying to distract the fish that's trying to eat it, or else attract a bigger fish to come and eat that fish. So watch your fingers. These dinoflagellates, they can't swim forwards or backwards, so they kind of get brought around wherever the current takes them, but they can go up and down. So every day and every night they vertically migrate. So during the day they go down deep, and at night they come up to the surface.
Why is that?
Dinoflagellates are cool because they're not an animal and not a plant. They've got characteristics of both. Whereas the phytoplankton then is a plant, and zooplankton are animals. And they also have a circadian rhythm, which, similar to us, they know when it's daytime, they know when it's nighttime, they know when to wake up, go to sleep. So if we were in here during the day and if we were in a dark cave, we won't see any bioluminescence. We'll only see it at nighttime. And if there's a big full moon out, it can be difficult to see. So tonight, we have no moon, it's going to get really dark. So we have a good chance to see the bioluminescence. So it's going to be difficult tonight to know whether to look up or down. If it's glowing by itself, it means something, without you doing anything, it means something else has disturbed it. But it could be something as simple as just, you know, if you pushed the water with your paddle, that water you've pushed will agitate the plankton a bit.
Do you see a lot of it, waves crashing in on the shore?
Sometimes, but if the water is too rough or too turbulent, you won't see it because it all gets dispersed. If you're in like this in a sheltered area with no big waves, it tends to gather up more, so you'll be able to see it better. It does. It exists out at sea as well, but it's easier to see it in bays like this. We might paddle on a little bit. As we're paddling, I'm going to pop my red light on and have a look at your paddle. It should be glowing. What I like to do, I like to get my boat moving a little bit and then just let your fingers trail through the water. And it looks really pretty. So you can follow me. So if we go in towards the cliffs a little bit where it's a bit darker, it should be much easier to see the bioluminescence. What can look nice too is if you put your paddle down a bit deeper under the water and move it back and forth. You can make a kind of a cloud underneath your boat. The name for this in Irish is Crush na Farraga. That means embers of the sea. I think it's quite nice. Crush na Farraga, yeah. So we might paddle on a little bit, guys.
I mentioned earlier that as a professional guide, I've taken people to some of the most remote places on the planet in search of the spectacular, always chasing the next breathtaking moment. But as I sit in my kayak, watching the water glow with every paddle stroke, I can't help but think, we chase wonders across the globe, but this quiet, glowing miracle, it's right here. Not on the other side of the world, not buried in some exotic jungle, just here in the bay. We spend so much time looking outward, thinking we need to go further, climb higher, dive deeper, but sometimes the most extraordinary things are right under our noses. We just don't notice them until we slow down. The bioluminescence swirls around me, tiny sparks responding to every movement. It's not loud, it's not dramatic, but it's beautiful. And it reminds me that nature doesn't always need to shout to be heard.
Absolutely lost in that. That was beautiful, Jim. I could actually feel every stroke. I could see the bioluminescence. It was so vivid. I've never actually seen it in real life, to be honest.
It's mind-blowing. Your brain kind of can't take it in. You're out in this inky dark water and next thing you disturb it with the paddle or with your hand and it glows like something out of a Disney cartoon, you know, it's kind of like, whoa.
It comes to life, literally.
It's like something from another planet.
Now, I heard lots of other voices there. You were not alone.
Yeah. No, not at all. Apart from Jim and Nisha Kennedy, who were running the show, we had people from all over, actually. There was a family group from America. There was a couple from just down the road. And there was another couple, I think, from Wexford or Dublin, you know. And so it was a lovely mixed group, all ages, all eager to get out. And
did they enjoy it?
Did they what? Just listen to the sound of their voices.
It's Jeff something. Try fix it. All right.
How are we doing?
Good now, famous.
Trying to get numbers so I can get pictures.
Do you mind if I ask you something?
Try me.
What sort of night? What do you think of the night?
Unbelievable. I couldn't get over that the bioluminescence. Mm-hmm. It's just breathtaking, like. But it was dead flat, really, like, yeah, as in, it was like a lake. But just beautiful. Couldn't believe it.
I thought it was stunning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it?
It actually made me speechless.
Really?
Yeah, the whole stairs thing and everything. Like, I've never, like, even I said to Kevin about going home, like, and lying down with the boys just to show them, you know, it's something else.
Yeah, even like, point out the satellites, you
Yeah. You've come a long way.
Yeah, this was beautiful. I've never kayaked in the ocean or in salt water before, but the story of the pirates and the history here is something that we don't get in the States, so wow. It was really fun to learn about that.
You come back again and try it?
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, enjoy your evening. Safe home, folks.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Happy customers, one and all, by the sounds of things, Jim. But you did speak to Jim Kennedy. Now, he set up Atlantic Sea Kayaking. You mentioned earlier that he's a listener to Mooney Goes Wild. Indeed, he is. During the Dawn Chorus, people who were listening will remember that he actually phoned in on a nighttime kayak to let us hear the birds. They were listening to the herons out That's on the great. Water. And after that, he contacted us to say, would you come on a nighttime sea kayak? And that's how this report came about. I said, well, I won't do it, but Jim Wilson lives closest. We'll send him. Now, you spoke to Jim during the night.
I did. I spoke to Jim, a very modest man and with a very varied background as well. He spent a lot of time in the music industry. Then he gave all that up for kayaking. He represented Ireland, I think, 4 times at the World Championships.
Wow.
Yeah. He's probably one of the most experienced kayakers in Ireland. Currently, he's helping Greenlanders to set up kayaking tourism, which is quite ironic because right. kayak is an Inuit word. And these are the people who know how to kayak better than anyone else. I mean, it's the part of their survival. And here you have an Irishman helping them to turn that incredible expertise into a living.
Well, Jim, I feel like it's been forever since we were standing out of the torrential rain only a few hours ago. Here we are now near Rean Pier in Castle Townsend, West Cork, and I'm looking up at the sky and you can see the Milky Way and all the constellations. I always think they've almost disappeared because there's so many stars up there. And it's the perfect end to what was a really fantastic evening on the water with Naisha, your son, and all the people who came along, and your good self, who did most of the paddling while I did most of the recording. It's been brilliant. I mean, I can see now why you're still very passionate about what you do and the place where you're living.
Having got so much from you and Derek over 30 years, Jim, I feel it's payback time. So I think nature sided with me tonight. We started off with the lashing rain, then we had the fabulous rainbow, then we did now, as you say, looking off now at the stars and the Milky Way, the Big Dipper, satellites. Jesus. Then you look down the water, sparkles, and the company. So it's been a brilliant night. I loved it. And it was great to have you down. Thank you for coming with us.
Thank you.